the day is dark before you. Woo! And the clouds are hanging low. Yes, there is one who watches over you everywhere that you have its way until the day is done, and when he speaks, you'll know the clouds will have to go. Just because he loves you so.
As good as I do. I love it. Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. The only one, the Redeemer. God the Father gave his Son. God the Father gave his Son. I love it this week when I read where Jesus said, the Father is greater than I. That's in St. John 14, verse 28. St. John 14, verse 28. The Father is greater than I. Now, I want to bring you an exciting broadcast today around the prophecy of Ezekiel 47. The Bible prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 47. Chapter 47. You want to turn to that, but we'll go to some verses before we get there, because this idea of the latter rain actually goes all the way back to Moses. He spoke of it in Deuteronomy. He spoke of it, Moses spoke of it, in the book of Deuteronomy. That's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, written by Moses. And then we have it all the way to the book of James. Eight different books record it. Nine different times it's spoken of in the Bible. So we know the latter rain is absolutely imperative. It is going to happen. Did you hear me? It is going to happen. When the Bible says something is going to happen, it's settled. Did you know that? When the Bible says something is going to happen, it's settled. You can believe every prophecy in the Bible. You can believe every prophecy in the Bible. They are dependable. Now, let me apologize. The radio audience didn't get the live program last week. And that was my mistake. But we had several things with a new Windows 10 that's been put on all of our computers. And it kind of disfigures a few things. And so you got to get them straight. Well, I think they're straight now. We should be on the radio. All of our markets, and welcome to all my radio friends. I love you, folks. I love you. Some of you have been listening to me since 1972. Can you believe that? 1972. What a history we have on this radio broadcast of Open Bible Dialogue. 47 years. 47 years. Going on 48. And it's been a joy. I've loved it every minute of it. Had my Juanita right beside me 46 of those years. And it was a joy. And she loved it. She really did. And she didn't want to miss it. I mean, there at the end, I had to go get her in the car. She could no longer drive because of the diabetes and the effect on her hands and her feet and all of that. But she was right there to the end. I mean, wanting to be here helping her husband and him helping her. We just loved one another. Did you know that? I'm sorry you missed my birthday broadcast last week. I really didn't do a broadcast about my birthday. It was on Sunday. 84 years old. I know you don't believe I'm 84. Well, I am. They say I am. I guess I don't remember when I was born. They said I was born on January the 19th, 1936, and they were there, the ones who said it, and I was there, but I didn't know about it. You don't understand all that language. Well, anyhow, we're going to go to James today. Let me give you a scripture in the book of James about this idea of the latter rain. And it shows us the Father's interest and the Father's concern in all of this. You do understand, all of this is the Father's design. All of this is the Father's design. It's not man's design. This is not something men hatched up. This is what God designed. Let me read to you James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now listen to this. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, that's the Father, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Did you get that? The Father is looking and with patience waiting for the early and latter rain. Now that's James. You remember James was a half-brother of Jesus. And he gave this prophecy in James 5, verse 7. And he said to all of us, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. We're waiting for Jesus to come. You know that? We're waiting for the rapture. We want to hear that trumpet sound. And it's going to sound at any moment. I mean, it's going to sound. You can trust it. You can depend on it. And before that trumpet sounds, concerning that trumpet sounding, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. You imagine, he's calling every drunkard and every alcoholic, every drug addict, every homosexual, every unsaved man and woman all over the world. He's calling them the precious fruit of the earth. He's saying to his heart, the wicked are precious. He don't want them to die in their sins. He hates sin. There's no passion against sin greater than the Father. But the Father loves the sinner who's caught up in his sins and cares about his soul. So the husbandman, you got to hear this now, James 5, 7. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. God is patient for the sinner to come home. God is patient for the sinner to come back to him. Hath long patience for it until he receive two things, the early rain and the latter rain. The early rain and the latter rain. And of course, all in between. But those two rains are the magnificent events. One was the day of Pentecost and some hundred or so years that followed Pentecost. The great movement of the Holy Spirit that brought literally thousands to Jesus Christ. Remember they said to Paul over in Asia Minor, they said those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Those who have turned the world, the New Testament, early rain, Book of Acts, etc. That period was called the early rain. And I'm telling you, it's said by the wicked and the unbelieving crowd, those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Now, this latter rain is going to be greater than the early rain. Now, how do you know that, Brother Chambers? I only know that by the size of the population of the world. The population of the world is many, many, many times larger than it was 2,000 years ago. And so the multitude that will be saved, the multitude that will come to Christ. I'm telling you, when I get over to Ezekiel and I begin to show you what that river of the Holy Ghost is going to accomplish and going to do, it's going to wash away all of that false doctrine out there. Every ounce of this false part of the church is going to be washed away. I said this week to some believers, I said, I believe that 95% of the church world will be washed away when this latter rain comes, because it's so full of deception. It's so full of brokenness. It's so full of deceiving doctrines. It's so full of the ideas of men. It's a psychological, sociological world instead of a theological world. And I'm telling you, it's going to be washed away, absolutely washed away. And I wish you would hear me, because if you're involved in some dead church with some lazy doctrine and your preacher's preaching a sinning religion, you really need to get out of it, because it's going to get washed away. Now, let me kind of margin that a little bit. If a pastor or a church that is in the false doctrine begins to repent when this latter rain comes, then God will forgive them, and they'll become part of that river, because this river is going to be a healing river. This river is going to be a reinvigorating river. This river is going to be an absolutely utter transforming river. It's going to change the church world to be the entity that it was intended to be from the day of Pentecost, and that there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of God that's going to be breathtaking, and it's going to come like a wonderful river. The Lord gave me a thought this week, and I just love saying it. The devil always comes in like a flood, but the Holy Spirit always comes in like a river. The devil always comes in like a flood, but the Holy Spirit always comes in like a river. The devil's crowd can do some of the most awesome things. And the Lord has really told me to quit worrying about the false and quit trying to spend my time identifying the false and telling people all over the world about the false. He says it's time now. I'm going to take care of the false. I am going to eliminate it. I'm going to send my river flooding through the church world, and that which is false is going to evaporate, is going to disappear, is going to be destroyed, and many of them will go right into the New Age movement. They will join the devil's church and the false Trinity, the false Christ, the false God, the false Spirit, and there'll be a multitude there. But I'm telling you, the real church, the genuine church, will be set free of all this stuff that has come in, flashing lights and showy wicked music, and you can name it. It's big time out there, big time. I get calls all the time from people saying, where in the world can I go to find a Bible church? And I say to them, I don't know. I've had a call this last week about a good Holy Ghost filled church in Raleigh. And so I called a minister I know well and asked him, was there a Pentecostal spirit filled church in Raleigh? And he said, don't know of one. I mean, this man would know, if anybody would know, my opinion. And he didn't know of one, because the churches are not full of the Holy Spirit. It's just religion, and the world knows it. The world knows it. Multitudes of the wicked know it. I mean, you say to people, why don't you go to church? And they say, can't find the church that I'd have. Well, that's going to change. Woo! That's going to change. The river is coming. You wait till we get to that river. You wait till we get to Ezekiel 47. You're going to want to read Ezekiel 47 for days to come, verses 1 through 9. It is a beautiful picture, but don't forget now. The Father, James said, the Father waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, the early and the latter rain. The Father is waiting for the latter rain. The Father has his heart set on the latter rain. And I'm telling you, I believe It's time for it to begin. I believe it will come slowly, like, you know, water up to the ankles, the book of Ezekiel says. Water up to the ankles, the river up to the ankles. The river will, I think, begin with sinners beginning to return to the church and repenting and getting right with God. I'm looking forward to start at Paul Creek tomorrow. I'm expecting some sinners to come in and say, I came to get right with God. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of living a life that's all messed up. I want to get my life straight with God. So remember that. That's very important. Now, I want to move through some scripture because I want you to know before we get to Ezekiel 47 that this river really is coming. This river really is coming. There's no doubt about it. Now, I want to go to Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah 28. Now, I want to show you in Isaiah 28 the biblical foundation for this coming latter rain. The biblical foundation. And you're going to like this, and you're going to understand this. It's very clear. For precept must be upon precept. Notice he says again, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. He says each twice, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now, the Lord is saying that the basis of my latter rain outpouring and the basis of his earlier rain outpouring and the basis of every revival that he's ever given. Anywhere there's been a revival, there's been revivals in many parts of the earth, and they were always based on the Bible. They were never based on human personalities. They were never based on human ideas. They were always based on the Bible. I said to one of the brethren here that really prays a lot with me, I said, now listen to me, Marlon. When this revival comes, it's not going to be because of you. It's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because of this Bible that we hold so dear to our heart. And we never move from one great truth of the scripture. Never. We stay right in the Bible. I still preach the same thing I preached 60 years ago. Everything right out of the Bible. And the reason I do that is because that's what God said do, number one. And because he says precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, line a little, line upon line, line upon line. Then he says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now listen to that. For with stammering lips, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the language of the Holy Ghost. For with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he maketh the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, we live in that day. The refreshing that God gives is by the Holy Spirit. Stammering lips and another tongue. Until the Holy Spirit moves upon you and you say, Brother Chambers, how do I know when I received the baptism? Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. They spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then go over to Cornelius' house in chapter 10, and you got the same thing. And it says, for they heard them speak with tongues, even as we did at the beginning. And then go to 19, chapter Acts 19, over to Ephesus, and there were men who had been baptized by John's baptism, but Paul said, have you been baptized in Jesus' name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? And they said, no, and they baptized them, and it said they all received the Holy Ghost and spake with tongues. So you will speak with tongues when you receive the baptism. For the word of the Lord was upon them, precept. This is again same passage, but another verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, stammering lips and another tongue. Then he goes on to say, for the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line. I want to tell you, if your church is going to be part of this latter rain, that's what you got to go back to. You got to quit preaching all these doctrines of men. I think about the doctrine of Calvinism, limited atonement. That doctrine will vanish out of here and away from here when this great river comes. I'm here to tell you, God loves all people equally. He has no respect of persons. He has no respect of persons. Don't you ever forget that. And so that will disappear, for it will will be line upon line, precept upon precept. I'll read it again now. I read that in verse 10, but now I'm reading verse 13. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Now, in four verses, he says precept upon precept four times. He says line upon line four times. What do you think he meant? He meant what he said, line upon line. Precept upon precept. This is not a smorgasbord. This is not a cafeteria room or cafeteria Bible. This is a straightforward, holy Bible from beginning to end. And that's what you will have if you get involved in this coming latter rain. This latter rain will not touch a place except to cleanse it that is not upon line by line and precept by precept. Gotta be. I'm here to tell you. I want to read that last verse again. For the word of the Lord was upon them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men. Hear that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. See, the church world is ruled by people just like in Jerusalem, and all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of ideas. You go to theological school today, you're not going to get out pure and clean. They're going to tell you why the Bibles are thus and that, and what was in the Bible and what shouldn't have been in the Bible, and what we take serious and what we just take lightly. And, oh, friend, you take that whole Bible. The one thing that saved my hide was when I got saved, I just got in the Bible. I believed every word I read. Oh, yeah, I studied them all. John Calvin, John Wesley, Martin Luther. I mean, I read everything I could get about all of those men, and I saw much good in all of them. And I saw in every case where a move of God came, there was a return to the simple fundamental Bible, the fundamental truths of the Bible. So the latter rain is going to be baptized with Bible theology. What did Jesus say? Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 4. For man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. Say that with me. Every word. Every word. Get back to every word, folks. Get back to the whole Bible. Get back to preaching the truth. Preach the Bible doctrines, the Bible standards, the Bible theology, the Bible ideas, the great truths of John 3:16. On and on. Preach that line on line, precept on precept. And I promise you, that latter rain is coming. That latter rain is coming. It's going to come to any place that's line upon line and precept upon precept. It's going to come to any church that goes back to the full and pure and unfailing word of God. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You believe it? Boy, do I believe it. I don't have any doubt about it. Now, I got to take you to Isaiah 35, because here's some more great truth. And this deals with the streams in the desert. Everybody's heard sermons on the streams in the desert. Well, what is the streams in the desert? It's a river. It's the Holy Ghost River. Oh, I can't wait now. We'll be by Ezekiel 47 here by the middle of the hour, okay? And then I'm going to open up the lines after a few minutes. Listen, I say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Listen to that. Your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall waters break forth, and streams in the desert. Trust me, daughter McClayton. Oh, I can't help it. I feel the mighty Holy Ghost moving right now. And I'm telling you, there's going to be streams in the deserts. There's going to be a breaking forth of God's power. The lame man's going to leap as a lion. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. And the wilderness shall waters break forth like streams in the desert. I'm talking about the river, the Holy Ghost River. That's what the latter rain's going to be, is the Holy Ghost River. It's not coming like a flood with all kinds of devastation, everything falling apart, and people acting like they're drunk, and people doing all kinds of ridiculous things. It's coming like the smoothness of a river. Great strength, but great smoothness. Not a flood, but a river. The devil comes like a flood, but Christ and the Spirit comes like a river. Are you hearing me? He comes like a river. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's life-changing. It's soul-refreshing. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. And the parched ground shall become a pool. Listen, the parched ground shall become a pool. And the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons shall be grass with seed and rushes, with reeds and rushes. Hallelujah. Listen to this. And a highway shall be there. This is the great latter rain now. Listen to me. I'm talking about the great revival that's coming. The great latter rain that's coming. It's as clear as a bell. Notice it. You got to hear it. And a highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. Now, you see, you say holiness today, and people go all to pieces. They turn knippies. I mean, they get angry with you. When I preach holiness, I'm telling you, the majority of the church world, they think it's Phariseeism and legalism. Well, it can be if that's all you do, because it's in you to do it, and God hasn't done it in you. I agree, but I'm telling you what's coming. What's coming is just a beautiful river of living water. What's coming is a glorious outpouring of sweetness. It's a river of grace and mercy and forgiveness. It's a river that cleanses. It's a river that refreshes. It's a river that brings life. It's a river full of joy and full of holiness. It's a river where men and women are so full of God. It just says it's so beautiful. And then shall the lame men leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, and the wilderness shall break forth. Out in streams in the desert, the parched ground shall become a pool. Hallelujah. And the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where they lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. I'm telling you, when this river comes, it's going to wash away the filth. It's going to clean up the old sinner and make a saint out of him. It's going to come with such living life until people, when they get in this river, will be absolutely full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. They won't act like drunk men. They'll act like men of great wisdom and great learning. And the light of Christ will beam and shine and be made manifest. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. Even fools shall not err therein. I'm talking about this great latter rain. I'm talking about this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is coming. It cannot fail. The Bible is too plain. The Father is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth until he received the early and latter rain. The last day prophecies cannot be fulfilled yet. We're waiting on them. Oh, Jesus could come because the rapture could take place before this revival. I don't think it will. I think they'll be pretty much together, at least pretty close together. I know it must happen. This latter rain must happen before Jesus returns at the end of the 7 years to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. The great millennial will follow this great latter rain outpouring. The great millennial will follow this great latter day outpouring. Now, you can believe that because that is so Bible. It is so straight. It cannot err. It has to happen as God said, because God speaks always precept upon precept, line upon line. God doesn't fool around and mess up things and get it all confused. He keeps it straight as an arrow. Read the book of Revelation, and it is a picture of the end times precisely. In order. God's word is just like that. It's precept upon precept. It's line upon line. Now, You've heard some great passages. You heard James 5:7. You heard the book of Isaiah chapter 28, beautiful material. Then you heard Isaiah chapter 35, a lot of picture of the same event, streams in the desert. Don't you like that? Streams in the desert. The lame shall leap. And it goes on to say, even the wayfaring man will know and find the way in this. It won't be no trouble for a foolish man to find the way when he really gets saved. I was foolish before I got saved. I was about as dumb as they get. I mean, I couldn't have been much dumber. And God's taught me his word. A highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not walk thereon, but it be for a wayfaring man. Though fool shall not err therein. Friend, it's coming. This latter rain is coming. Are you hearing me? Now, the lines, I'm at the middle of the hour. Got a couple of minutes here, and we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. I wish you'd get your Bible. This Ezekiel 47 is one of the most beautiful passages you can read in the scripture. It's breathtaking. And would you believe, before I go to 47, I want to take you to John chapter 7. And I want to show you that Jesus spoke of this river. Jesus prophesied of this river that we read in Ezekiel 47. And I've never seen that till this week. It embarrassed me that I had never seen that. Go to John 7:37. In the last day, now listen to that. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. Now we've got to stop right there. That's verse 38. He that believeth on me. Then he says, as the scripture hath said. So Jesus is quoting. Jesus is going back to an Old Testament passage because all he had of the Bible was Old Testament. None of the New Testament had been written. So Jesus said, as it is written. He's talking about as the Bible has said, as it is written, as it is. I love that. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, there is no way that Jesus was talking about any verse in the Bible except Ezekiel 47, because there's no other place. There's no other place that shows it so plain that this river is coming. And so Jesus said, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. He uses that term rivers of the Holy Spirit right here for the first time because he's quoting the Bible. And he can only be quoting Ezekiel 47. Are you getting what Brother Chambers is bringing to you? These scriptures are overwhelming me because I'm telling you, we are right here. We're right there. This great latter rain is coming. This great latter rain is about to break like a glorious river shining right into the desert, he said. And you'll see it as we read Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47 is one of the sweetest passages. I mean, it's just absolutely overcoming. And I want it to overcome you. Now, again, take that John 7:38. Remember that verse, as the scripture hath said. You can't stay as the scripture hath said if you're not quoting the Bible, because he's quoting the Bible. And so, Jesus is quoting what Ezekiel had prophesied of. Well, he did it often. It's not unusual for Jesus to quote the Old Testament. He did it several times. Paul did it 100 and some times. The New Testament has many passages quoted from the Old Testament. And this is just another one of those cases. As the scripture have said, out of his belly. Now the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, I'm telling you what, I'm overwhelmed with that. I really am. It thrills my heart. It thrills me to bring it to you. I hope I'm stirring you to the core and getting you ready for the latter rain. I believe with every bit of all this in me, the latter rain is right now upon us. It is about to begin. I feel it way down inside of my being. I see evidence of it. I'm hearing other people talk about movements that seem to be showing some kind of change in the church world. I hope people, preachers will start repenting of their careless treatment of the Bible. I hope I can get 1,000 people right on this broadcast to be an intercessors. You ever been an intercessor? You know what an intercessor is? He's not people who pray these little penny-ante prayers. An intercessor is somebody that does like Elijah did. The Bible says of Elijah that he was effectual, fervent prayers like Elijah. Effectual, fervent. Notice that word fervent, red hot. Pray till the fire is burning. Pray until the Holy Spirit prays. Pray until the anointing of God comes upon you. All preachers are saying there's no such thing as praying through. Well, that's because they've never prayed through. That's why they think such craziness. That's where they get such false. That's not line on line, I'm going to tell you that. Because you study this Bible a little bit, and you'll find men in this Bible who prayed through. Men who prayed until they were in the very presence of God. Apostle Paul prayed until he was caught up to the third heavens. Did you know that? He prayed until he was caught up into paradise. Prayed until he was caught up into paradise and saw things he couldn't even talk about. They were so beyond measure. They were so beyond human understanding. Oh, my friend. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 47. Are you ready? Have you got your Bible open? Are you ready for the river? Are you ready for the river? I'm ready for the river. Great day this very morning as I prayed in that sanctuary. Got here about 5:45. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was just so real. My heart was just bubbling out and crying out. And sometimes I get loud and I pour myself out to God. And the Holy Spirit was all over that sanctuary. And we were believing God for this latter rain. Folks, I'm believing God for, I'm not going to give up. I will be in that sanctuary, and I will either die praying early and crying out to this latter rain, or this latter rain's going to come, and I'm going to get caught up in the middle of it. And if I die, it'll come after I die. I promise you it's coming. I'm wanting it to come while I'm living, and I believe it's going to. I really do. I believe it's going to, and I'm aching for that. I'm crying out for that. But let me go to the Bible. Afterwards, now, this is Isaiah. He's seeing a vision. And he says, afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house. This is the house of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Now he's seeing waters beginning to gush in the house of God, the temple. He's seeing waters begin to come from the different parts of the house. And everything is pointing toward the eastward. You know, the east is the direction in which Jesus is coming to enter that beautiful gate into the temple area. And that's, of course, in these very scriptures dealing with equal, not this chapter, but another. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utterest gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. So he's out, he's in the church, he's seeing this vision, he's seeing this revelation. He knows it's a revelation, it's something about what God's going to do. God's using symbolic language to give Ezekiel this revelation, because we understand his revelation in the symbolic language better than we would understand it if he'd spoken the language of that day. It was for us. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. So here we have a starting. It's beginning. He's seeing it as it starts forth. The person with the line, this is an angel of God, I would presume, and he's leading Ezekiel to understand and see the vision. And he brings him out of the house, and he shows him now the waters are going forth as a river, and it's only ankle deep. So it has a very small beginning. The beginning, of course, is like being saved. You get started, but you only get started. Most people get saved today and don't even come back to church that night. No, when you really get it, you won't want to miss nothing. You'll get in the middle of it. That ankle deep water will only make you thirsty for more. You understand? You understand? It's beautiful. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Notice that. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the loins. So it started out light to the ankles. Then he comes up and he measures and he sees it's come now to the knees. Then he goes a little further, listens to this great vision, and it's to the loins. So it's up to the waist. Oh, man, something is about to happen. Woo! I feel like I've been in the ankles of it in these altars for the last weeks. I feel like I've been walking right in the ankle-deep waters of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it feels more than that, but I'm just going to leave it at that because it's been at least up to that, and it's beautiful. But then he takes him a little further, and it's up to the knees. Is up to the knees. The Holy Spirit is moving. The churches are beginning to feel the wavers of this great visit. People are beginning to repent and get right with God. Church doors are closing, or the theology has been so confusing and so dark and so damnable. Many of these television evangelists are going out of business, and it won't take them long. Maybe they'll do like Benny Hinn recently did. They'll repent and say, I repent of all that false stuff I preach. I'm telling you truth. See, this river is going to represent both the moving of the Holy Spirit and the mighty Word of God. Line on line, precept on precept. Isaiah laid that out clear. Line on line, precept on precept. Line on line, precept on precept. The church has had so much of this confused theology. It just boggles my little mind. I've been always this innocent little boy. Nothing special about me. I'm just a man that loves this Bible. And I've stayed in this Bible. I have dealt with so many things and watched so many doctrines. I've watched so many videos with people saying some of the most unbelievable things. I've really been boggled at some of the things I've heard, but I'm not going to go into that. God's asked me to move out of correcting theology and let him do it and just get in here in the middle of this river and let the river flow. The river will wash away more than I can ever. I'm telling you, this river flowing is going to wash. Well, let me go on and read. And I'll show you more. So it's already now to the loins. I mean, this is becoming a river. This is becoming a mighty move. There's power in what's happening here. It's going to be majestic. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now, we're coming to the point in this place, the latter rain. This is the latter rain. It started, and it's going to grow, and it gets bigger. I believe it's already beginning. It's going to get bigger, and it's going to get bigger, and it's swiftly going to become a river that you cannot pass over. I mean, this is where theology that's been dark and damnable will vanish and pass away. This is where churches will close their doors and realize they've been preaching nothing but a bunch of human theology, sociology. I'll never forget being in a class some years ago when I was still in the denomination. And one of the great men from the headquarters, and he was a great friend of mine, had come to this district pastor's meeting and was teaching us. And he was teaching us psychology and sociology and not the Bible. And it was overwhelming to me. I was so bothered, I didn't know what to do. Here's my friend up there telling us things that had nothing to do with theology and all to do with sociology. And I go home and I call a man at the headquarters who was known as the scholar of Hebrew. And the scholar of the great Greek and Hebrew texts of the Bible. I mean, he was a scholar of scholars. His last name was Gauss, G-A-U-S-E. And some of you listening to me will remember him. I called him. And I said, Brother Gauss, he was a friend of mine. He was a mentor. And I loved his great life and his teaching. And I said, Brother Gauss, let me tell you what I heard today. I'm not going to use no names. I'm just going to tell you what I heard. And I want you to tell me where it came from. And so I told him the whole story. Well, there was no mistaking. When he heard it, he said, Brother Chambers, I can send you the book that came out of. I can send you the book. I said, that's none but sociology. It is the transforming the church from a theological institution to a sociological institution. He says, that's what's happening. That's what's happening to our church. We were part of the same church. He said, that's what's happening. We're changing from a theological-centered church to a sociological-centered church. Human development, human understanding. It all had to do with the human instead of the divine. And the church all over the world has moved from a theological institution to a sociological institution. What does feel good to men? What will men respond to? What does it take to get people in our church? Let's get the cross down. Let's quit preaching so much don'ts to them and just preach to them the do's. Let's let them drink coffee while we preach, and let's give them some music that'll put dancing in their feet, and we'll have a religious movement that will be breathtaking. We'll get thousands into the church. Well, you know that's happened exactly like I've just said it, but it's all going to be washed away. It's all going to be washed away. I've got to read that verse again. Afterwards, he measured 1,000, and it was a river, and I could not pass over, for the waters were riven, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now, let's go on into this beautiful, wonderful doctrine. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. So he brought him to the brink of the river. It's now a river. And the Lord has taken Ezekiel to see the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. So it's a river full of life. It's a river that's bringing forth fruit. It's a river that the trees standing on either side are tall and growing and great. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which bring forth into the sea the rivers, the waters, I'm sorry, shall be healed. As the waters flow, and they go into the sea, and they go into the desert, and wherever they go, the waters that they encounter. See, this is waters go into waters. This is true waters going where there's false waters. This is true waters going where there's unclean waters. And it's going, and it's cleaning as it goes. It's healing as it goes. And great results is taking place. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, wherever, now listen, wherever this river shall come, shall live. Woo! Shall live. Everything that moveth, everything that has any life left in it, wherever this river comes, shall suddenly live. Oh, this is going to transform churches into living institutions of Holy Ghost visitation. I'll put them out of business. Whatever they want. They want to live. They want to exist. When this river flows through, they're going to have to get in the river, and they're going to have to go back to line on line and precept on precept and get in the middle of God's book and stay there in the middle of God's book. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it. I love the fishers. I'm sorry. These are fishermen. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it. From Engedi even unto Indra-Tarim, there shall be a place to spread forth nets. The fish shall be according to their kind, as the fish of the great sea exceed in many. Now they're catching fish. Remember when Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men? He was referring to the scripture. He was referring to the word of God and the flowing of the mighty river and the great moving forth of God's Holy Ghost presence. Now, one more verse, and I got to read it. Listen to me very carefully. And everything shall live whether the river cometh. That's really the closing verse of this great truth. Everything shall live wherever this river cometh. Everything shall live wherever this river cometh. Now, this is a prophecy. I wish Ezekiel would have given so much more to make it even plainer to us. But when you understand the prophetic truths of the Bible, it's plain enough for anybody who believes the Bible. See, you never interpret things in the Bible by some imagination in your mind. You interpret them by other scriptures and other truths. And so that's why I love what Jesus said. And as the scripture have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So you know he is talking here about the same thing Jesus is talking about. He's talking about this great latter rain outpouring, flowing forth of great life, and it shall bring forth great, great revival. Oh, my brothers and sisters, now it's coming. Now I got about 12, 13, 14 minutes, and I want to take your questions. I want any question you've got, and I will do my best to answer it, okay? Any question you've got, I will do my best to answer. Well, Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's how these books are. Oh, yeah, I got it. 11:45. I got 15 minutes. Now I want to hear from you. Which I got my phones on. And I'm ready to take your calls. I would love to have questions. I think I can hear you. I got things set to where I can hear the ring. So if you have a question about this latter rain, if you have a question about this latter rain, I want to hear it. I'm here to tell you it is at the door. It is about to occur. Jesus made it plain. James added to that when he said the Father, the husbandman, is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Until he received the early and latter rain. I mean, that's very clear. Easy understood. And this is the latter rain. It hadn't happened in James' day. That was somewhere 75, 80, 90 years after the beginning of the 20th century. So we know that it was before 100 years was over. James was the brother of Jesus, so maybe 30, 40, 50 years since Christ was crucified, and he said the latter rain, and he said the Father's waiting for it. Well, we know they were in that early rain for at least a couple of hundred years, and they began to decline. Even in the 4th and 5th century, I have quotes from Catholic men who were decrying that they never heard people speak in tongues anymore, that they saw no gifts of the Spirit anymore, that all of this had died and kind of vanished from the church theology, and they were sad and glad. I've got quotes of that very thing. Noted men in that particular 3rd and 4th century that were decrying that the Spirit of God had ceased to move. Well, that early rain kind of played out. And there's been some revivals through the last 1900 years. And there's been some sweet moves of the Holy Spirit. But never the latter rain. See, the latter rain touches the whole earth. The latter rain touches the whole earth. I will take you to, and I read this last week, but I'll take you back to Acts 2 in a few minutes here and let you make sure you see, make sure you understand that Peter said it plain. Peter said it plain that this was going to happen. There's just really no doubt. There is no way to doubt what Brother Chambers has said to you today. It's going to occur as sure as I sit here on the radio and on the internet and on the Facebook talking to my wonderful friends and telling you the time has come. I don't know the day it begins. I think it's already in the early stages. I believe we're going to start seeing all people getting saved in our altars. We've had several over the last year. We've had several men who are 70 and over who've been saved. At least four men in that age have gotten saved here in the last year. And it's unusual to see people who are 70 and 80 get saved and really get right with God and really become faithful. But we've seen that. And I think that's some early stages. But I am wanting to see souls getting saved everywhere, not just at Paul Creek. I want them saved in your church. I want them saved in any church that will go back to the Word. I'm telling you, pastors, get back in that Bible and go to preaching the whole book. Go to preaching everything in that book. It's going to be a way. It's going to be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not walk their own. If you think you can live and walk in this river with an unclean lifestyle, an unclean habits, and unclean conduct, I'm telling you, it's going to clean you up. You aren't going to have to make yourself clean up. You get in this river, you're going to want yourself cleaned up. And I'm telling you, this river will clean up everything it touches. It will bring healing to everything it touches. You'll see people having miracles of healing. Our churches, once again, will be a place where miracles occur, where people get healed. I've had preachers saying to me the last months, why aren't we having any miracles in our churches? Because the preachers themselves don't trust God with their bodies. How can they expect their members to get healed when they don't get healed? They run for anything they can get instead of turning to God with all their heart. Turn to God. He's sufficient. Who healeth all our diseases, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who delivers us from destruction and crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like an eagle. That's Psalms 103. I'm telling you, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly. If I could make you hungry, if I could make you thirsty for this river. I'm telling you, when you pray until this river comes flooding over you, when your church prays until this river comes flooding over you, it will be the sweetest and most wonderful time of your life. Now, time is going to pass fast, so I'm waiting on some calls. 704-391-0588. Are you calling? 704-391-0588. I'd like to hear you, whatever you think about this latter rain. How many of you heard it many years ago? The older ones like myself. I remember hearing this preached when I was just a young preacher. I never got into it myself because it was kind of over my head way back then. But thank God I've got into it now because the time has come. And God has his revelations at the time he plans them because God wants us to know and see his glory. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, the latter rain. I believe what you're saying. I'm experiencing a rejection and alarm in my Christian friends when I talk about the reality of this.
I have the same thing. People do not understand it, and most of them don't believe it.
Okay. All right. That doesn't mean something's wrong with me.
No, nothing is wrong with you. You just believe the Bible. Now, you go read Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 through 9. Make sure you get James 5 and 7. And when you read the one in James 5 and 7, that in itself is proof. James says the Father is waiting for the precious harvest of the earth. Waiting. Okay. What's he said, until the Lord comes. This all relates to the coming of the Lord. It all relates to him coming back to set up his kingdom. He can't come back and set up his kingdom till he fulfills this great event called the latter rain.
So, Pastor, are we kind of feared by this last day modern Christians?
Yes, we have been intimidated. A person who believes what I'm preaching right here will feel intimidated when they try to tell even the pastor, and he said, I'm not into that. No, they're not into that because they're into a sociological life in religion, but not in the old-fashioned truths of Revelations. You got to get back to the Bible. And I've given you scripture after scripture. I mean, when you take Isaiah 28 and Isaiah 37 and James 5 and the book of Acts chapter, let me show you here. Now, this is the book. Just stand there a minute. Stay there a minute. And if someone else would call, it would be great. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. In the last days. This is Peter now. And this is the day of Pentecost. This is the day of Pentecost. And Peter is preaching to the Pentecost crowd. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. Who said it? God. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God says to Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, in the last days. That word last means the last of the last. The end of the end. When it's down to the last, and the last months and weeks and maybe a year or two, he says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, how do they doubt the book of Acts, chapter 2, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, telling us in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh? How do they doubt that?
It's so good to hear you talking like this because I have felt more and more alone. Like, well, maybe something's wrong with me, but I...
Yeah, there is something wrong with you. You believe the Bible.
Right, I do. I can't deny... What you're saying is what I feel, and it is correct to me.
Well, Toby, I feel the Holy Ghost just sitting here. I feel the sweet Spirit of God moving all over my being. I can hardly keep myself talking English because the Holy Spirit is just that real right now. I'm telling you, we're right on the verge of this great time. It is going to be Hosea. It's going to be breathtaking, lady.
Oh, well, they seek me out. It's so odd. At night or in the night, when they're suffering, they won't even acknowledge me in the daytime.
But they'll call you for prayer. Keep praying, lady. Let me go. Somebody else. God bless your heart.
Thank you.
Make sure you send us your address. Okay, we need it. Send it to 704-578-5788. That's a text. 704-578-578. Somebody else call us. I want to hear from you. Do you have a question? Do you understand? Now, are you being criticized if you believe in the latter rain? Brother Kenny Morris is a great Assembly of God preacher from Mississippi, one of the best camp meeting evangelists there is. And he says, Brother Chambers, I'm always having people say, Brother Kenny, you're going overboard. Brother Kenny, I don't really believe it's going to happen like this. Brother Kenny, and he said, Brother Chambers, it's going to happen. We believe together. He's still the Assembly of God. And there's others in the Assembly of God. There's others in the Church of God. There's others in other Pentecostal groups who believe this. But most of them haven't got into the Bible and dug through it like I have until they can lay it out for everybody to understand. See, that's what is needed. Preachers need to get in the pulpit and preach these sermons. Every preacher listening to me, preach this to your congregation. I'm telling you, take James 5 and take Ezekiel. Let me make sure I got the right passages. So you know Ezekiel 47. There's no problem that Isaiah 20, 35, 4 through 8. Boy, that's powerful stuff. Isaiah 28, 10 through 15. James 5, 7. Man, there's no excuse. It's coming. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Joseph Chambers, my friend. I listen to you all the time.
Well, am I preaching the truth?
Oh, yeah. I would ask that the people would look at Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 3. It's a Deuteronomy 32, 1 through 3. It's a small emphasis to what you have been saying.
The early and latter rain. Yeah, I said earlier, you may not have heard me, there's eight books in the Bible, nine times the Bible talks about the latter rain, and the first one is in Deuteronomy, which is the Torah that was written by Moses. So it started with Moses and goes all the way to James, right before Revelation. The Bible is plain, there's going to be a latter rain.
That is very true.
It's coming.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you for
your time. And I'm going to be in the middle of it if God will let me. I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it, but I got to be in the middle of it. God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling. Somebody else. I got time for one more call, maybe two. Quickly, 704-391-0588. I got time for two. 704-391-0588. I'm so excited. I am absolutely bouncing in this chair. I'm so excited. The latter rain. Oh, it's coming. Oh, I don't know how I want it. I can't wait for it to become a river. I love the part when it's only up to the ankles, but and to the knees and then the loins, but I want it to become a river. I'm waiting for the river. Anybody out there waiting for the river? Anybody out there listening to me? Grab your phone and call. I got time for one more. Don't have time but for one more. Call quickly, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Hey, we care about you, friend. We care much about you here. We care about your life. We care about your faith. We care about you walking with God. And we're getting ready for the latter rain. How many of you are getting ready for the latter? Is anybody going to really take this to heart? I wonder how many of you are really going to take this to heart. I hope a lot of you do. I don't know that you will, but I sure hope you will. God bless your heart. I'm trying to get the music ready to go here. All right. God bless you. Jesus is coming, and I'm a-leaving. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming, and I'm a-leaving. Time for one more call. Let me wait a minute here. Get the music going too fast. Grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want you in the middle of what I'm talking about. Jesus is coming. I want you to get ready for the latter rain. If you don't read nothing else, go to James 5 and 7. The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth until he received the early and latter rain. The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth until he received the early and the latter rain. I mean, what more can you? James, and he's talking about this in his little epistle right before the book of Revelation. I mean, we know that it's coming, my friend. We know that it's coming. I can hardly wait. I'm so excited. I am really excited. I'm looking forward to church tomorrow. Welcome to Paul Creek, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. We're going to be in the middle of this latter rain as it breaks. We're going to be in the middle of it. I'm telling you, I cannot even dream of not being right in the middle of it. I want God's glory to come to this place I want to see it with all this beauty. I want people to be healed. I want the wicked to be saved. Friends, God bless you. I love you. Get ready. The King is coming. Get ready. The King is coming. I said the King is coming. And Jesus is going to take his saints home. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. I hope this thing is going. Do I have it going? I don't know. Oh, I tell you one thing. Sometimes I have to work on these to get them right. But it's got to be right. Here it is. God bless you. I love you.
Was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress. Saying, make me your choice. And I entered the heaven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea.
Jesus, I am saved.